Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome each one here this morning. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you, Dan, for the devotional and for the encouragement to be there for our children and also walk with our parents if there's things that need to be taken care of. This past week, I had the opportunity to talk to Alvin Yoder. For those that don't know, Alvin has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That's pretty much throughout his body. And yeah, it was just a tremendous blessing to just talk with him. He doesn't have any pain at this point. He has dealt with quite a bit of pain a few weeks ago, but at this point he doesn't have any pain. And he said it's amazing the opportunities that God has given him to be a witness to the community, to the unbelievers in his area, to share some stories of just sharing what Christ has done for him. And for some, it just does not make sense. And also, Psalms 103, he said, has been very precious to him. So I'll just read that this morning. It's a very familiar chapter. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crownest thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies the mouth with good things, so that the youth may be renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment to all that are oppressed. He made known his way unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is gracious, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. For as man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes, and the wind passes over it and is gone. And the place thereof knows it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. An encouraging chapter to just bless the Lord. And it's like Alvin said, he doesn't try to spiritualize this chapter or anything. He just reads it for what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So, yeah, it was just a encouragement. I called him to just chat with him, to encourage him, but I, in turn, was greatly encouraged by the time we hung up. So, let's just continue to pray for him, pray for he has a platform, especially in the community there. He has a lot of friends, and there's quite a few of his friends that are not born again or not walking with Christ. So just pray that that those would get to know Jesus Christ. We do have a lot of empty seats, so maybe you guys seem sort of off in the corner, so maybe you can just pull off to the edge there. Yeah. Trust that the youth are having a good time and a blessing. As I was studying this to preach this morning, you all probably saw the headlines of Charlie Kurtz assassinated in Utah. A man, a husband, a father of two children, a man that impacted millions, an evangelical Christian, even though I'm not endorsing everything that he stood for, but one thing that kept coming out is he loved his family. He loved his wife. He loved his children. And they were first in his life. And he witnessed about Jesus Christ whenever he had the opportunity. Even though he was very high profile. But yeah, it was just, it impacted the world. By his death. Then you also see a woman from Ukraine fled her war-torn country to come to America to have a fresh start, only to be killed in a subway. It's just like, why? But we have hope. We have hope this morning. Jesus Christ is a true shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He cares for each one of us. Look at John 10. I want to read it in New King James. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter in a sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. But when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. Then Jesus said again, most assuredly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anybody enters by me, he shall be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of my own. As the Father nourish me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And all the sheep which are not of this fold, them will also bring, and they will hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. Many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, are these not the words of one who has a demon? Can a demon? These are not the words of one that has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe me, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any snatch them out of my hand. My Father, which has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, not for good works do we not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you said, you being a man, make yourself God. I'll just stop there. It's interesting to note that is goes right after John 9. Just read some of the John 9. It's when he healed the blind man, and the blind man was called before the Pharisees. John 9:13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also said unto him again, how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay in my eyes, and I wash, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him, because he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, when he had been blind and received his sight, until he called the parents of him that who had received his sight, and it said, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How is it that ye now see? His parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who has opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. The parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he is Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And he said to him again, what did he do to you? How opened he your eyes? And he said, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses, for as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said unto him, why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know from where he is from, yet he has opened his eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anybody is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man be not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin, and you are teaching us, and they cast him out. Jesus heard that he had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you now. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I'm coming in the world, that those who might not see, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Then he goes on to say, most assuredly, I say to you, he that does not enter into the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. That I am the good shepherd. And also seems like that he was also referring to Ezekiel 34. When he read that, Ezekiel 34 is a direct rebuke for the children of Israel, and especially the priests, the leaders there, about not walking with Christ, but not walking where they should be walking, but rather scattering the people and those things. They were rather feeding themselves, but not the flock. They were rather scattering the flock and not bringing them together. So Ezekiel 34, just want to read a couple of verses from there. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to him, thus says the Lord God to the shepherd, woe unto the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherd, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely my flock shall be a prey, and my flock shall become food for every beast of the field, because there is no shepherd. Nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because I am against the shepherd, I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks for his flock in the day, he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out of from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and the inhabited place of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be in the high mountains of Israel. They shall lie down in good fold and feed in rich pastures in the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which is lost and bring back that which was driven away. Bind up the broken and strengthen that which was sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. As for you, O my flock, says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up like the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and have drunk the clear waters that you should foul the residue with your feet? As for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with scythe and shoulder, buck all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and I should they should no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It's interesting that he notes that his servant David, this would have been like years after King David was already dead and gone, but he's saying that my servant David shall feed them and be their shepherd, which is a direct directly referring to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ, from the lineage of David. So he's saying that, basically saying that Jesus Christ will be the shepherd, will be the prince among them. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. He shall be established as one shepherd and over them. And verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they shall dwell in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them in all places around my hill a blessing. I will cause showers to come upon them in a season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. The earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land. They shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the band of their yokes and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall they, the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. For thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pastor. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. What a promise. Even though the shepherds of, like we read about in John 9, they came against Jesus Christ and were trying to even get the ones that were believing in Christ to turn away from him and calling him a liar, calling him demon-possessed, and whatever else they could call him. But it's also just a good example. Like John 9 is a good example of someone who that can't be plucked out of his hands because he will protect them. He will be with them. John MacArthur says it this way. The sheepfold, Jesus spoke in verses John 9, 1 to 30, using a sustained metaphor based on first century sheep ranching. The sheep were kept in a pen which had a gate in which the sheep entered and left. The shepherd engaged a doorkeeper, verse 3, or a hireling, verse 12, as an under shepherd to guard the gate. The shepherd entered through that gate. He whose interest was stealing or ruining the sheep would choose another way to attempt entrance. The verse of Ezekiel 34 most likely formed the background to Jesus' teaching since God decried the false shepherds of Israel, the spiritual leaders of the nation, for not caring properly for the flock of Israel, the nation. The Gospels themselves contain extensive sheep-shepherd imagery. Can anybody say what characteristics of a sheep is? Meek. Follower. It can be dumb. Very loyal. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I looked that up. 10 facts about the sheep. Sheep, they eat seeds, grass, and plant. Lambs can walk just minutes after they're born. Though they often are dependent on their mothers for the first 4 or 5 months of their lives. Not only can sheep recognize up to 50 other sheep's face and remember them for 2 years, but they can also recognize human faces. When sheep experience stress or isolation, they show signs of depression similar to those of human by hanging their heads or avoiding positive actions. Interesting. Like various other species, including humans, sheep make different ways to communicate different emotions. They also display and recognize emotion by facial expressions. Sheep are intelligent, very impressive memory and recognition skills. They build friendship, stick up for one another in fights, and feel sad when their friends are sent off to the slaughter. Sheep are able to experience emotions such as fear, anger, rage, despair, boredom, disgust, and happiness. Sheep are very gentle animals. They're one of the first animals... they can They can see the different facial expression and prefer a smile to a frown. Sheep have excellent vision. Their large rectangular pupils allow them to see almost 360 degrees. In fact, they can see behind themselves without turning their heads. So interesting. So God refers to them as sheep, refers to us as sheep. We're to be gentle, we're to be kind, and also we also show our emotions, right? Or at least we should. When we're sad, when things are hard. That was also interesting. Like the sheepfold, where they engage a doorkeeper or a hireling, there would usually be three or four different shepherds that would keep their sheep in the same sheepfold. But when the time came for them to go out to pasture, the shepherds would call their sheep by name and they would follow them out. The ones that did not recognize the shepherd stayed in the sheepfold, but those that recognized the shepherd followed the shepherd out. And the shepherd would lead them, would go before them, would protect them, would guide them. He wouldn't drive them out, he wouldn't chase them, but he would lead them. He would go before them into places where if it was dangerous, he would lead the way. He would not just force them to go into dangerous situation without him leading the way into those situations. And likewise, Christ has led the way. He leads us into situations when it's hard, when it's dangerous. He leads us in those situations that he goes before us. The word says he was tempted in all forms like us, yet without sin. Then there's another illustration or metaphor in ancient history when Jesus was referring to him as being a door. He would put the sheep in the sheepfold, and then the shepherd would lie in the doorway that, excuse me, so that anyone or anything that wanted to come in had to pass through the shepherd first. He was the guard to the sheep. Do you have Apple TV on? So part of what got me started on the message about Jesus being the shepherd was you probably all saw this painting in the red room there that Sarah Weaver had done, and it's just interesting to note the different things she has noted here. As far as the way, actually she has three different ways, but you see this man kneeling at the door, which above the door is called mercy, faith, repentance, prayer, the keys to enter. Then you see the thief trying to get it in a different way. The ladder breaks on him. You also see a lot of people on the wide way, just where there's envy, hatred, there's pride, luxury, ease, pleasure, and all those things. But then you also see the lukewarm, just people walking in this life being lukewarm. And it's interesting to note the way she has that on here is eventually you end up in the same place, which Revelation 3 talks about, Revelation talks about that those that are lukewarm, he will spew out of their mouths. He has no interest in those that are lukewarm. So I guess with that, may we go through the door. May we walk through where Christ has for us. Walk through the door where Jesus said, "I am the door." And in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So are we climbing? Are we going through the door? Are we going through Jesus Christ? Or are we trying to climb in some other way? When you look at John 10, he says, "The thieves and the robbers, but those that climb in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." So what does the thief and the robber do? They come in to steal, they come in to kill, they come in to destroy. They don't have any mercy upon the sheep, but rather they'll come to bring chaos and destruction and those things. But Jesus came and he brings peace, he brings joy. It says here, in verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 7, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anybody enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." We all want that, right? We all want to follow our Savior, our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. It says, if we follow him, we will be saved. We will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep and are known of his. "As the Father knows me, even I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And all the sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them will also bring, and they will hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." What a blessing. Before it was referring to the Jews as being his sheep, but now he's referring to Jews and Gentiles as we will all hear his voice and follow him. So are we going through the door or climbing in some other way? Also thought of, how can a thief carry the sheep out if he climbs over the wall? Naturally the sheep will flee from him because they're afraid. They don't recognize his voice. They will flee from him. But it says here that the thieves, they come to kill, to steal, and destroy. I think it was John MacArthur mentioned that basically the only way they can really get the sheep if they come in and kill the sheep and then throw the sheep over the fence. Said it's almost impossible to climb the fence and then get the sheep out alive because the sheep will flee from him. Let's look at Matthew 9:36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.' But when he saw the multitudes, Jesus Christ was moved with compassion because he saw the multitudes as having, like sheep having no shepherd. Mark 14:27. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, because it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So when the shepherd is taken out, the sheep are scattered. Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. I am the true vine. I'm John. Luke 15, 1 to 7. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose not one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost till he find it? But when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing, saying, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Again, just the compassion that Jesus, our shepherd, has for his sheep. That if one out of 100 is lost, I mean, you would think, well, at least I have still 99. It's only a very small majority. But no, he leaves the 99 in the sheepfold and he goes out in the mountains. Can imagine it'll be dark. It'll be maybe raining, miserable. But he goes out and he seeks for the one that is lost. And when he finds it, he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I also want to look at Psalms 22. Psalms 22 is a lot of prophecy about Christ's crucifixion, which obviously was David wrote the psalm in, when he was in a very dire situation. It seems that everything was coming against them. But also a lot of prophecy about Christ's crucifixion. I want to start at verse 22. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All ye descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him. But he has cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those that fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those that seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he will rule over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those that shall go down in dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep him alive. A prosperity shall serve him. It shall be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to the people who will be born, that he has done this. That's then the continuation in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We all know that this chapter, right? We can most of us can recite it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall have no lack. I shall not want. He shall supply all my needs. Everything that I need shall be supplied of him. There is no want. There is no lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down where there's plenty of food, where there's the pastures are green, it's prosperous, it's beautiful, there's plenty to eat. He leads me beside the still waters, which is also interesting. They say the sheep will not drink out of a creek or a river that is rushing. The water needs to be still for sheep to drink out of. And he's saying that he will lead me beside the still waters. The waters will be still. It will be drinkable. He restores my soul. My soul will be restored. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in that path. He leads me in that path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because of who Christ is, because of the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in that path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where there's dangers on each side, there might be a drop off on the left side and wolves lurking on the right side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, because the shepherd is with me. The shepherd is our guide. He not only goes behind us, but he leads the way. He goes before us. For your rod and your staff to comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I can imagine a table set full of good things to eat, and things like that. You sit down in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. A sheep, when it brings it back in the sheepfold, the shepherd would look over the sheep, make sure there's no injuries, make sure there's nothing wrong, and would anoint with oil those areas that need healing. And he said, you anoint my head with oil, your cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's making a statement that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then 24 goes on to say, who may ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hand and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. So may we have a clean heart, a pure heart, and clean hands. Noah's Ark, there was one entrance. There was one entrance for people to go in to be saved. And it's interesting, going to Glenn Eshelman, he said the Noah shore is the most powerful shore they ever did. So it's just something about that. When that door closes, you know that you are either on the inside or you're on the outside. There is no middle ground. Either you are in or you're out. And it says it's interesting that at the end of the show, they always invite people to come up for prayer or to commit their lives to Christ. And that show brings the most response ever compared to all the other shows that they have done. He said there's no comparison to the response that comes from the Noah. And it's just that when that door closes, either you're inside or you're outside. There's no middle ground. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through him, through Jesus the Christ. John 14, 6. So they were saying in John 10, I am the door, that those that come have to go through him. Or Isaiah 40, 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those who are with young. That's Jesus. He will lead his flock like a shepherd. Hebrews 13, 20, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good works to do his will, working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That great shepherd of the sheep, the God of peace, that great shepherd of the peace, make you complete in every good work. Working you that is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, whom to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then 1 Peter 2. For 2:21. For to you who are called, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a sample that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to those that were judged as righteousness, to whom bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And verse 25, for ye are all like sheep going astray, but now have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We were all like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our soul. Revelation 7, 13 through 17. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who came out of great tribulation, who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serving him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell with them. There shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, who is in the midst of the throne, shall shepherd them, and shall lead them to living waters. Matthew 18 and also Luke 15 talks about the shepherd who had the hundred sheep, and one goes astray, he leaves the 99 in the fold, which I talked about that. And Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So the love that he had for us, he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love that he had for us, for he's not willing that anyone should perish, but all should come and be saved. Acts 2:28, then Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what is our response? Our response is to love him because of the great love he had for us, to serve him, to follow him, to worship him boldly, no compromise, not be lukewarm, but rather know where we stand before him. Be bold, be strong, be courageous, Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to close with Romans 8, 35 to the end. For what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there anything left out there? Anything that can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So what do we have to lose? What do we have to lose to be bold? To boldly share what Christ has done for us? Maybe our reputation? Are we concerned about what people think? It was interesting with Charlie Kirk. I didn't know anything about the man before I saw that he passed away. So I was curious and listened to part of his podcast. And I guess it convicted me on the boldness that he had to just share what he believes. I mean, he did not care who came against him. I mean, in a crowd of thousands of college students, he would ask the people to come up and contradict him, to debate with him. And he boldly proclaimed what he stood for. And I guess the question came to me, what about me? Am I boldly proclaiming what I stand for? Or am I concerned about my reputation? Am I concerned about what other people may think? What if we would be radical in what God has for us? What if we would stand for truth in every situation? What would happen? The love that Christ had for us as the true shepherd, he goes out to seek those that are lost. Do we stand for truth or do we just keep quiet because we don't want others to be hurt or we don't want to be misunderstood? May God bless you.